want to talk to you today about breaking the spirit of mammon. Breaking the spirit of mammon. Now, with all that is going on in our world and in our own economy here in America, I really felt led of the Lord to bring this message to you today. In fact, this is a part of a mini-series entitled Open the Windows. And it actually is going to tie into last week's message on how to open those windows. How many of you know that there are windows in heaven that we can open over our lives? Windows of blessings. Notice it's plural, not just one. And we learned last week about those windows, and we learned this about God. God doesn't change, folks. His truths never change. When God says something, it is what He meant it to be. He is the God who changes not. John Milton's epic poem, Paradise Lost, used to be required reading for many high school students in less politically correct times before Christianity was actually removed from the classroom. If you read this poem, you know this poem painted a pretty detailed portrait of hell. Milton showed Satan as a fallen commander-in-chief surrounded by his demon generals. Each of these was the god of an idol-worshipping culture in ancient times, and in fact is mentioned in the Bible. Milton's poem depicts another demon standing at Satan's side. And this is the name of that demon. It is Mammon. Now you may recognize Mammon as a New Testament word. In fact, Jesus mentioned it a couple of times. For example, in Matthew chapter 6, verse 24, Jesus declares this. Oh, we need to hear this right now. I wanted to preach this message today before I read this, just to reiterate what I've said. We need to be calm in our spirit. And we need to know that God is the answer for all of our problems. Mammon does not have an answer for us, because here's what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, verse 24. He declared this. No one can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. Listen to Jesus' words in this verse. He says, you cannot serve God and mammon. Beloved, if God says that something cannot be done, it cannot be done. You cannot serve God and mammon at the same time. Jesus clearly suggests that it is possible to serve mammon instead of serving God. In fact, I would say, listen, I want to be real careful how I say this, but I think this is a huge problem in America, that we are serving mammon. I think it's one of the biggest problems with our government right now. We do not recognize that you cannot serve God and mammon at the same time, and we are trying to serve this God of mammon. But he goes on further, and Jesus states this, that it is impossible, as I've already stated, to serve both at the same time. He says this, you will love the one and hate the other. In other words, you will be loyal to one and despise the other. According to Jesus, not to this preacher, not to my own words, Jesus said this, there is no middle ground. Sometimes we think in terms of middle ground. There's no half and half. Well, I'll serve mammon half the time and I'll serve God half the time. God said you cannot do it. Mammon, apparently, is a jealous God. Now, just what is mammon? Mammon is an Aramaic word that essentially means riches. The NLT says money. Now, the Assyrians got the concept of the god of wealth from their neighbors, the Babylonians. We read about Babylon and the Babylonians a great deal in the Bible. In fact, in the book of Revelation, we hear of it again. Babylon was a city founded on pride and on arrogance. And its heart is an attitude that says, man doesn't need God. It says, we are self-sufficient. Now, this is the big struggle that is going on in the world right now, folks. It is a spiritual battle. It is the battle between the spirit of God and the spirit of mammon. Right now, I know I watch the news. I watch all these things that's going on. I'm anticipating the election. I intend on voting in the election. I intend on doing everything I can to get the best person in. But let me tell you, if you look beyond the politics and you look beyond this, and I'm encouraging you to do this, it's a spiritual battle between the spirit, and it is a spirit, the spirit of mammon and the spirit of God. I mean, it's that simple, but yet it's not so simple. Now, this is what the spirit of mammon tries to tell us. It tells us you don't need God. Now, I feel a little bit of preach coming on me today. In other words, that spirit says, trust in riches. Folks, let me just tell you something. I love you dearly, but I'm going to tell you this in love. If you are not a seeker of God on a daily basis or on a regular and frequent basis, let me tell you, you're probably not as close to God as you think you are. You're probably seeking, and if you will, hustling mammon. I don't like that, preacher. I know it. But that's the reason I'm preaching this right now, because so many are tempted to go and chase mammon and try to get this thing worked out in the natural. Let me tell you, it is a spirit, and we need to be very careful against this spirit of mammon versus the spirit of God. Take time for God. I'm going to preach in the future how God will multiply your time if you'll take time for Him, how He will multiply your riches if you will put them first. Can I hear another amen? Now let me ask you, did you know that all money has a spirit on it? Did you know that? It either has the spirit of God on it, or it has the spirit of mammon on it, which is why it multiplies and cannot be consumed by the devourer when it is submitted to God. I talked about it last week. People think that preachers preach about tithing and they preach about offerings and they teach about giving because they've got some ulterior motive. I have no ulterior motive. First of all, I will tell you what my motives are. I want you to be blessed in these days. I do not want you to be fearful. I don't want you to be afraid. I want you to have everything you need. And at the same time, I want God's house to have everything that it needs. I want to do things in excellence. I don't want to have to be begging people for money. I don't want to be having to try to get something done for God, because it does take money to do that. That is my motive. If that's an ulterior motive, I don't know how else to tell you. That is my motive. Blessing. Blessing on you. Blessing on your family. Blessing on your business. Blessing on your jobs. Blessing on this church. That's what I want. Can I hear another amen today? I'm big into amens today. Money that is submitted to God and His purpose has the Spirit of God on it. And that's the reason it can multiply. Listen, I don't want to go back and re-preach last week too much, but just a little bit. Hey, it's the reason we try to mathematically determine and figure all these things out. You will never mathematically, in your intellect, figure out God. The Bible says that God's ways are above our ways. I am convinced that money that has been submitted to God, that is wealth that is devoted to serving Him rather than trying to replace Him, is blessed by God. And so in a very real sense, God's Spirit blesses it. On the other hand, money that is not submitted to God has the spirit of mammon on it by default. This is the reason for a lot of people, they hear this, But they can't seem to come to the place where they understand submitting their money to God. I see it all the time. We talked about it last week. Hey, let me tell you, this is what you will consistently hear from someone who has made tithing and giving offerings a lifestyle. Here's what you'll hear. I am blessed. We are blessed. What do you hear from people who don't tithe and who don't give, who tell you, I just can't afford to? What do you always hear? Please pray for this. Please pray for that. That's broken. This has got a problem. We can't do this. We can't afford that. You hear it just the opposite. I'm blessed, or either, really what they're saying is, I'm cursed. They just don't realize it. Folks, God has made it clear that when we submit our money to Him, He will do something with it. Talking about this spirit of mammon, that's the reason why so often people try to use money to control or manipulate others. Now, I hadn't had this in many, many, many years. But when I was a younger preacher, I mean, there'd be people who'd give money, but they would give it with long strings attached to it. I'm going to give you this big chunk of money here, but don't you give any money here with a string attached, because I'll cut it. I don't submit to that spirit of mammon anymore. you give it to God and let God do with it what He wants. I've had people give before, and I honor this, and said, now you guys, you and the elders, do with this money what you want to. We just had a really neat offering come in that we could have done anything we wanted to with, but said, I really would like for you to consider, let's see if we can get some of that debt off the building. All we owe now, right now, and I'm just waiting for somebody to come pay the rest of, is $56,000 little dollars on all these properties that we own here. Amen. That's a woo-hoo. Absolutely. That's a big woo-hoo, by the way. You see, mammon is basically the spirit of the world. And how many of you know that spirit is a lie? It's a lie. Now, I've noticed that people most under the influence of the spirit of mammon tend to have the most fear about their money. And let me just tell you, it does not matter how much they have. People under the influence of it, and sometimes I think the enemy knows this, and people that need to hear these kind of messages the most, they're never here. You think it's not a spirit that manipulates people? It's not about the amount, large or small. There are people that don't have two dimes rubbed together, but I'm going to tell you, they're submitted to the spirit of mammon. In fact, sometimes I've noticed people don't have anything or worse about this than people that have a lot of money. These kind of people have the most fear about money. That's why Jesus said this, and you need to hear this. For wherever your income comes from, it needs to come. And listen, can I just be a little stronger than that? It better come from God. Listen, folks, I'm going to tell you something. The government is not your provider. And we just don't need to be sitting around talking about the government doing this, the government doing that. The government today, let me tell you, you are not investing wisely if you are depending on the government. That'll make you real popular there. It's the truth. The government does not understand you cannot spend more than you take in. I do not have a printing machine. Amen? And I'm investing elsewhere. Jesus said, give to the kingdom of God and give there and store up riches in heaven, because this life's going to be over one day, even if I have to suffer a little bit. And I'm going to have some wealth up there when I get there. Amen. Not my little cabin. I've been talking about that little cabin. Some people just want that little cabin on the outskirts of glory land out there. I don't. I want to be right in the center of the action. If Jesus moves, I want to be right there. If the glory of God moves, I want to be right there. I don't want to be out there saying, what's going on up there in the holy city? Wish I could be there. Well, you better store up some stuff in heaven now. This is not preacher talk. There may be some preacher personality mixed with it. This is Bible. Jesus said you cannot serve God and mammon at the same time. People are trying to do it. A lot more people than realize they're trying to do it. But you can't do it. Jesus said you can't. Mammon wants to rule. You see, the spirit of mammon is looking for servants. I'm telling you, he's even looking in churches right now for servants. He doesn't care if you call on the name of the Lord. If he can make you his servant, this spirit, he'll do it. The spirit of mammon is seeking worshipers. Listen, folks, there's a lot of worship going on toward the spirit of mammon in our world today. And here's what the spirit of mammon says. It says, I will promise you everything, but deliver nothing. I tell you, if you submit to the spirit of mammon, you will one day wake up and realize, what have I done with my life? Where have my priorities been? You will realize that it was not the spirit of God and the right thing to do. Now, Jesus clearly suggests that mammon tries to take the very place of God. Now, I'm going to explain some of this as we go through this message today. Jimmy Evans, who I love dearly and support his ministry, Marriage and Family Today, says this. He says, mammon promises us those things that only God can give. Here they are. Security. See, a lot of people are looking for security right now. Significance. Identity. Independence. Power. And freedom. How many of you know those things can only come from God? Mammon tells us that it can insulate us from life's problems and that money is the answer to every situation. That's what the spirit of mammon says. If I just had more money. Now, I don't want to ask for a show of hands. I'll just be honest with you. There's been a few times I think that if I only had a little more money. But I'll be honest with you. My little more want for money is for this kind of car or this little thing or that nice little thing or remodeling of the home. It has very little to do with real need. But if I only had, and I know there are people here today who have real need, people listening to us by the way of the internet who have real need. Let me tell you, mammon is not the answer. It's not more money that you need. It's God that you need. Now, someone will hear me today and hear through all the news forecasting and all the doom and gloom right now. If I can get you to understand that there is a spirit of mammon that's preaching everywhere, every day, and can get you to focus on God and what God said you can't serve both. You cannot serve God and mammon. That's the reason he said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. In other words, his way of doing things, and all these things will be added unto you. Yeah, but what? You're doubting. God said he would take care of my every need if I made sure that I sought first his kingdom of God. And not for what I can get from him, but what I can hear him say to me and do. I'm firmly convinced if God ever needs to give me a new direction in life, a new provision, he'll do it. He owns it all, folks. Wall Street does not own all the money. Some of you say, yeah, and all those companies own. No, they do not. I've heard people say, you know, it's all those insurance companies that own all them. No, they don't. No, they don't. God owns it all. You know, and sliding $1 billion to me or you is no problem for God if he thought we needed it. You see, more than anything, mammon wants to rule your life. Mammon is nothing more than this fallen system that is in this world, and it's in sharp opposition to God and his ways. For example, mammon says, buy and sell. God says, sow and reap. Mammon says, cheat and steal. God says, give and receive. Now friends, it's no coincidence in the book of Revelation that the Antichrist attempts to dominate people through the use of economics. Here's what he's going to do. He's going to try to prevent people from buying and selling unless they submit to him. Revelation 13 and 17 says, and this will come to pass, my friends, one day. He says this, and that no one may buy or sell except the one who has the mark of the name of the beast or the number of his name. Friends, the brief rule of the Antichrist will be through the spirit of mammon. Now, maybe you're a new Christian, or maybe you're not even a Christian. You don't understand. The Bible makes it very clear that we will come to a time in history, and oh, is it ever being set up for it, where man will be required to take a mark, the mark of the beast, the Antichrist, or either you cannot buy or sell, you can't go down to your local grocery store and buy what you need, or wherever you buy your food. You cannot do it. You see how the spirit of mammon works? The spirit of mammon is out to control. It wants to rule over you. And I'm telling you, we are being challenged like never before to be ruled and be motivated by this spirit right now that more than ever before. I mean, people are withdrawing. It's like, oh, we better get our little cubby holes filled. We better get ready for the storm that's coming. I got news for you. The storm is already here. And it's really been here for about 30 years in America. People just haven't recognized it. No one's been willing to deal with the real issues. The spirit of mammon is everywhere. Folks, listen, I love you. I love you. Go buy all the gold reserves you want to buy. Go buy all the bonds you want to buy. Let me tell you something. When this thing really hits, I got to tell you, God needs to be our provider. Amen. Yeah, I mean, how many of you hearing all these gold advertisements? Buy gold. Gold has never gone up or down. Or, you know, it never has, gone away in value. Well, that's not true either. The spirit of mammon wants to rule. That's okay. Someone said, yeah, Pastor, we've got gold in our portfolio. Well, that's fine. God better be your bailout. God better be your stimulus. Well, that's what I'm trying to say if this thing hits. When it hits, when it hits, it's already here, folks. Now, why would I tell you this? I would tell you this because God is going to take care of His people. But if we're submitting to the spirit of mammon every day and just worrying, man, God bless some of you have to just work around those people that are in a frenzy all the time and just in freak mode about work and money. It's the spirit of mammon. You need to get them a copy of this message and make sure it's on their desk Monday morning. Because it's a spirit. And you have to deal with that. How many of you know Jesus said worrying will not do anything for your life? He said it will not add one thing to you. In fact, they tell us, why are so many people ill and sick in America? Because of worrying, because of anxiety. It won't do any good. Do I need to be attentive to what God would say about my life? Do I need to be attentive if God says, hey, you need to get rid of some of this debt? Do I need to be attentive if God says, you don't need that or sell this or get rid of that? Do I need to be doing that right now? Oh, you better know. We better be submitting to the Lord. God has promised us basically three things: a roof over our head, clothes on our back, and food to eat. We're blessed in this country. But sometimes we get confused about what a blessing is. There are people in this world living in cardboard houses right now as I speak, praising Jesus and going to their little cardboard church, happier than some Americans that I know. How many of you are beginning to understand what I'm talking about as I talk about this spirit of mammon that wants to rule our lives and wants to control us? Now, don't get me wrong. Don't get the wrong idea today. Money and mammon are not synonymous. Let me say that again. Money and mammon are not synonymous. Money, listen to me, is not inherently evil. One of the most frequently misquoted Bible verses is 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 10. It says, "For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil." Notice the Bible does not say that money is a root of all kinds of evil. Hey, listen, one person can take money and help drill water wells in those places where they have no water. One man can take his wealth and he can do terrible things and spew out all kinds of garbage around this world that's destroying lives. Money is not evil. It's the love. It is the greed. It is the desire. It is the worship of money. And only God in this country where we're so blessed can really help each one of us determine if we really got some worship going on in mammon or if it's a lifestyle we're having to live right now. And God can do that. Folks, let me tell you, if the first thoughts when you get up in the morning are, oh my God, how are we going to pay the bills? That makes logical sense, doesn't it, if you're not paying the bills? You're dealing with the spirit of mammon. And I'm not saying those bills are not real, and I'm not saying some of these things people encounter are not real. But let me tell you, you don't have to deal with the spirit of mammon. You go to the spirit of God. Amen? It says this in this verse, "The love or the worship of money is a root of all kinds of evil." It manifests. Let me tell you another way. The spirit of mammon manifests, and the way it's going to manifest in our world today is through selfishness. It's all about me. It's all about my promotion. It's all about my business. It's all about my blessing. It's all about my car. It's all about my vacation. It's all about what I want. It's about my clothes. It's about the watch I want to wear. It's about material things. It's selfishness. That is the spirit of mammon that is everywhere today. And that's the reason that God said you cannot serve God and mammon. The spirit of mammon, as I've already stated, is the opposite of the spirit of God. Mammon says to take. God says to give. Mammon is selfish, but God is generous. And I could just preach on and on and on about that. Folks, right now, Christians, and I'm talking about the whole of their lives, need to be benevolent with their time and with their talents and with their treasures. But the reality is we struggle with that. We struggle because we're in a spiritual world and we are literally battling a spirit of mammon. Take it for real. Take it seriously because it is real. Mammon says, if you have the right credit cards and the right clothes and the right car and live in the right neighborhood and know the right people, you will be happy and fulfilled. Yeah, listen to some of these older folks who have been down that road or understand how that spirit works. Mammon tells you that if you had more money, people would listen to you. Do you realize the reason some people are driven to make money and to have success and have big companies is they just want somebody to listen to them? Good luck. Godspeed. Here's what Mammon says. Your relationship problems would go away. And life would be sweet because you could buy that condo in Colorado. Mammon says you could do what you want, go where you want, and live the way you want. And I say, no, you cannot. No, you cannot. You have an obligation to live unto God and obedience to Him. It doesn't matter if you have $1 billion in the bank or $1 million. People ask me from time to time, is it okay if we make money? It is fine that you make money. It's perfectly all right. Thank God for people who have the ingenuity to make money and know how to do it. It really helps the church. But so does the person who gives $25 a month. God doesn't care how much money you make as long as it does not affect your relationship with Him, with your family, and with your church. If it starts affecting with any of those, you are in trouble. You are submitting to a spirit of mammon. A lot of people say, I know that if I had $1 million today, everything would be fine. Don't fool yourself. It wouldn't. Well, I feel led to go here and I feel led to go there. Right? Lord, and then you get defensive when the preacher says, now, are you sure the Lord's telling you to do this? Yeah, the Lord told me. Y'all know my stance. When someone says the Lord tells him to do something, I back off. Knowing that the Lord probably didn't tell them that. That's when we've come full submission to that spirit. The Lord told me. Get a little angry when you mention it too. Folks, this spirit of mammon is real. And here's the reality, and I think I've already made this point. People in the world aren't the only ones susceptible to this kind of deception. Mammon sometimes engages its creative lying to ensnare Christians as well. How about times when we're under pressure? The thought will come to us, and it's actually the spirit of mammon speaking to us, that we need one of two things to happen. First, we either need God to miraculously change our circumstances, or number two, we need someone to drop a truckload of money on us. Now, the daydream usually goes like this. Something like maybe winning the lottery. Now, I could never win the lottery because I've never bought the first ticket. And if you want to buy tickets to the lottery, that is just fine. Just if I'm in line behind you at the supermarket, would you please just let me get my stuff and go while you and the lottery ticket deal with it? You can laugh anytime. Do we have a lot of people buying lottery tickets? Someone said, well, if I win the lottery, preacher. You know, we used to hear these things all the time. You just don't hear this nonsense anymore. Years ago, people said, well, let me ask you something, Pastor. If somebody wins $20 million in the lottery, are you going to take the tithe? Real religious people. You going to take that unholy money? Absolutely. I'm just going to send it right through the blood of Jesus, and I'm going to take it, and I'm going to put it in the bank account, and just, Bible says, hey, the wealth of the sinner stored up for the righteous. We're just going to cleanse it through the blood, and we're going to spend it and be happy while we spend it. How religious we have been in the past. Notice how the spirit of mammon tries to position itself as a substitute for God. You either need God to work a miracle now, or you need more money. Do you see what I am saying to you today? If God doesn't do a miracle, then I just need a lot more money. If Folks, do you understand what we are struggling with today? Is this a revelation that's being imparted to you today, what we're struggling against? No, you don't need a truckload of money. You need God, period. That's it. You see, we start thinking about most of our problems, and they can be solved by having more money. When this happens, we are definitely under the spirit of mammon. Now, I've already stated this, but folks, Jesus didn't tell us to hate money. But He needs us to understand you cannot serve Him and money. You will, at some point, be loyal to the one and disloyal to the other. What are some keys to resisting the spirit of mammon? You know, I don't want to get you all worked up today and realizing, my gosh, I've been dealing with this thing, and what is the answer? Number one, you need to remember that we were slaves to sin before God came into our lives. We remember the work that God has done in us by grace, and I emphasize by grace. And we remember that it has been God's blessing on our life that has produced anything good. I think every now and then we need to just go back and remind ourselves of what we were before Christ came into our lives. I was a mess by choice. You got to go back. See, we forget. We're just doing Christianity and just doing the, you know, all this Christian stuff, and we really forget why we are so blessed now. We've got to remember it's the grace of God. Number two, we need to remember God is the one that empowers us to gain wealth. And I know when you make statements like this, there are people who say, yeah, you just don't know. I can't pay the bills. I can't even afford to fix my car. Hey, let me tell you, you are very wealthy if you live in this country. The average person around the world lives, I think it's like on $2 a day or less. You are blessed if you live in this country. You are blessed. You may have some problems. Who doesn't? Who doesn't have some challenges? Who doesn't have some temptations to submit to these things? Who doesn't have the problem of daydreaming about these things? But the reality is, we got to remember that it is God who gives us the power to gain wealth. This is the message that God gave the Israelites before they entered the land of promise. Here it is in Deuteronomy 8 and 18. He says this, and you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you the power or enablement to get wealth, that He may establish His covenant which He swore to your fathers as it is this day. It is God who gives me my breath to get up every day and go do what I do. It's God. And if you don't think it's God, just have a little problem and you'll suddenly realize, why is it everybody, you know, they have their own positions and own thoughts, and then all of a sudden when a problem happens, oh, y'all pray for me. Pray for me. Pray for me. Because it's God who gives us the ability to go to work every day, beloved. We owe the acknowledgement of God in our lives. Do I understand this world we're living in? I think I do more than people realize I do. And regardless of how hectic your life or where you find yourself, be sure you give God praise. God, I thank you. I know how hard it can be. I know how difficult it can be. God, thank you that I have the strength to get up and go earn an income. Or God, thank you, however your income comes. And you be grateful and you give Him praise for it. Are you hearing me today? And thirdly, and this is where I want you to listen. When we do with money what God tells us to do, it not only frees you and I from the spirit of mammon, but it causes God to open the windows of blessing over our lives. You know, when God said that He wanted His people to give 10% of their income, it was for our own protection. Those of you who tithe, have you noticed how freeing it is once you do it? And you say, that feels so good to do that. You know why it feels good? Because you are freeing yourself from this spirit of mammon that tries to latch a hold of you and your family. Come on, don't sit around the dinner table talking about the problems. Start talking about the blessing of God. Here's what Malachi chapter 3 verse 10 says. And folks, there's no motives here other than this is what I believe and this is what I have practiced and this is what I have experienced. Do I believe God will do in the future what He's done in the past? Absolutely. Here's what it says. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse. He doesn't say bring a tip, folks. God is not your waiter. Sometimes we really think there's something spiritual. Well, I can't afford today. I can't afford to give the tithe, but let me just tip God, you know, $25 or whatever it is, $2, $5, $10, whatever it is. We really think we're doing God a favor. I just tip God because I don't have the faith to believe if I do what God says. Let me tell you, folks, why do you think it's so hard for so many people and more people in America now to write their tithe checks? Let me tell you, it's because they're listening to that spirit of mammon that says, man, you're crazy. You're crazy. You're giving away 10% of your hard-earned money, and if you give that away, dummy, you're going to have problems. Don't you know? It's the spirit of mammon. Now, I'll just tell you, I don't know who tithes and who does not in this church. So I'm not preaching at anybody. But I know this. He says, bring all the tithes into the storehouse. What's the storehouse? The church. And I preached about that last week. It's not your favorite missionary or Red Cross or hurricane relief efforts. It's to the storehouse. I said we'll be free from this spirit if we handle our money the way that God said handle it and do what He said to do it. He said, I didn't, bring it into the storehouse. Bring it into the church. God wants the church to be strong and not have to worry about debt and have all these problems that a lot of churches are having because people are ripping God off. He says this, you bring it in the storehouse so there'll be enough food in my temple. So the provisions that are needed will be there. And He said this, if you do, says the Lord of the heavens of the armies, here's His promise, I will open the windows. Everybody shout that out real loud. Windows. Of heaven over you. And listen, He doesn't stop there. He says, I will pour out a blessing so great you won't have room enough to take it in. Try it, He says. Test me in this. This is the only occasion in the Word of God where God Himself says, test me. Put me to the test. My testimony is I have put God to the test, and God has proved to be abundantly faithful and blesses over the top, folks. He just does. You've heard some of the testimonies that have happened to me and Tracy over the years. These trips that we get to take and somebody else pays for them. I know that people just do that for preachers. You just don't know, honey. Some of them don't want preachers ever taking a trip. What's he on vacation for? So I won't die from all the problems I hear. As long as I can afford a vacation, I'm going to take a vacation. And even if I can't afford it, I've been looking at tents lately. I'm going to go buy a tent and go camping. I'm going on a vacation one way or another. If it's in my backyard, in a treehouse. And I will make sure I have plenty of food with me too. God said this, and the reason I'm preaching this series right now is to calm people down and to give people some hope that everything is going to be all right in the midst of this crazy economy. I don't know what's going to happen in the economy, but I know eventually this world is going to turn to the Antichrist, who is under the anointing of the spirit of mammon and is going to control people. And we are in those stages now, and I don't want anyone submitting to that. Did you know there are some other promises as I'm closing today here? Here is the second promise found in verses 11 and 12 there in Malachi chapter 3. Now, I realize in reading this, we are not primarily an agricultural society, but hey, listen to this. He says in verse 11, your crops will be abundant, for I will guard them from insects and disease. In other words, I'm going to guard what you've got from whatever might try to destroy it and take it away. He says, your grapes will not fall from the vine before they are ripe, says the Lord of the heavens of heaven's armies. How many of you would like more money in your savings account? Beloved, you need a savings account. You need one for when the engine in the car messes up. You need one when the tires go bad. You need one when you have an unexpected bill. You need a savings account. Now let me ask you, and you don't have to raise your hand, how many of you like more money in your savings account? Let me tell you, it's very, very, it relieves a lot of stress. Oh, the engine blew up. Okay, no problem. Go down. Let's go get another one. Now I'm getting that really strange look from some of you. What's a savings account? Oh, I forgot. America doesn't have a savings account. You need one. Somebody said, man, he's asking us to tithe. It didn't stop there either. The tithe is God's. If you take the tithe, God said, and do anything else for you are robbing me. Don't rob God, people of God. Don't rob him. Go rob a bank, but don't rob God. He's meddling now. I'm preaching conviction. Thank God for the pastors that had the courage to tell us, if you don't give of your tithe, you're robbing God. That makes, folks, listen, this sounds tough, but it would make me a thief. Stealing from God? Now I'm really overwhelmed. He's wanting me to give my tithe. He wants me to give of offerings. And now he's wanting me to get a savings account. Has he gone crazy? I'm telling you how to get out from under the spirit of mammon. You can do it. You know, I sometimes think young people believe that every meal has to be served on wheels. In other words, you got to go somewhere. Folks, listen, stay at home and eat some beans and rice. A steak? Tacos? Yeah, I don't cook. Well, cook. If you're single and you don't like to cook, marry somebody who likes to cook. Folks, this thing is real. Spirit of mammon is real. All of us would agree that the Spirit of God is real. There's a battle going on in some of your minds and hearts right now. And it's a real struggle. You stay true to God. What I want you to do before we leave today, in fact, I'm going to ask you to stand this morning. If you kind of recognize that you maybe have been dealing with this spirit and didn't recognize what it is, well, we need to give that to God. And let me tell you, a lot of people right now here in the state of Texas where we're located, they're dealing with that. One of the worst droughts in the history of our state. And the economies around the world going nuts. People are dealing with this. This is real. But are we going to believe God? Are we going to trust God? Then here's what we have to do. We have to do what God says. We first have to repent of doubting Him and submitting to another voice. And then we have to take action. Oh, you mean literally take action? Yes. Faith is action. But I still need to pray about it. That is doubt. Faith is action. Do it. And then stay on your knees and say, now, God, I'm testing you. Things are tight. I'm testing you. God, are you going to do what you said you'd do? And you watch God start working this miracle, that miracle. Who knows? You may get a promotion. You may have somebody come pay off your car. Who knows what God will do? Who knows? God can do it. And He will do it. But you got to do what God says first. Well, that may mean I have to move out of my home. No, it won't. No, it won't. No, it won't. God will give you a home. God will take care of you. God will do whatever. You mean my little kids, if we do this, they may not get, you know, clothing and the things they need for school. No, they won't do without. And you need to hear me right now. Because the Spirit of God is rising up in me to tell you that is a lie. You will not be without. God will not be outdone. God won't sit back, you know, and say, well, let's just see. Let me see how hard I can make life on them. God is trying to get you free. Some of you have not been free in years from this spirit of mammon. You've battled it every time that it has come your way, and it's won. I'm going to break the spirit of mammon in this place today. For any of you who are watching this by the internet, we're going to break this spirit through prayer. And you agree with us today as we pray. I'm believing God to free us right now in Jesus' name. Father, I pray right now for everyone who is hearing me today under the sound of my voice, those who are here, those who will hear this on the radio and on the internet. Father, in Jesus' name, we break the spirit of mammon that has been harassing and tormenting your people. Father, I pray families will rise up together and say, this is enough. We're going to believe God, and we're going to do what God says. We're going to go to the storehouse with our offering, and we're going to present it as an offering, and we're going to see that the windows of heaven are open over our lives. Father, in Jesus' name, I break this spirit. I break the spirit of mammon in this place. I break it. I bind it in the name of Jesus. And I pray, Lord, in its place will come a spirit of obedience. The Lord, we won't be tippers. We will be tithers. And Lord, we'll not only give of our tithes, but as you lead us, an opportunity is granted. We'll give offerings wherever you direct us, Father. I pray these things in the name of Jesus. And all of God's people said, folks, be blessed. Be blessed. Be blessed. Be blessed from the crown of your head to the soles of your feet. God's not quite through yet. I declare you are the head and not the tail. You are above and not beneath. And I declare you are the lender and not the borrower. Amen. There's some power in those words. Be blessed. Let's give God a praise this morning.